Hey, welcome this morning. Happy Easter to you all, and happy Resurrection Day. What a great, great morning. So we kind of celebrate this every Sunday, but today it's like the whole world just turns and draws our attention to this man who's not only a man, he's the Son of God and has done the impossible, not only on his own behalf, but for you and me as well. So just remarkable. Hey, if you brought a Bible with you, do me a favor, open up to John chapter 20. If you've got it on your phone or your tablet, you can go there too. I got the old analog version like me. You can just open up John chapter 20. That's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. That's the fourth gospel in the New Testament, and you can go there. While you're turning there, I just kind of want to ask you a question and maybe get your brains thinking in a certain framework, but have you ever felt stuck in your life? Like, okay, all right, so I think I've struck a nerve this morning already. So, yeah. and I don't mean like stuck in traffic. I don't mean like stuck in line at Walmart. I'm not referring to being stuck in the bathroom. None of those things. What I'm talking about is I mean really stuck in life, right? Like you feel like you're stuck in this dead-end job. You feel like you're stuck in this bad relationship that you just can't get out of no matter what you do. You're stuck in this moment, this season, which just seems to be lingering and hanging on. And maybe you are or maybe you have been stuck in hopelessness. And you're just trying to figure out, man, when is this thing gonna end? And you can't, right? If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. Because if you've ever been there, you can't always put your finger on it to know exactly what it is, but you feel like there's just something holding you back. There's something that's pressing you down. There's something that's keeping you from moving forward. Sometimes you can name it and identify it without a problem. Other times, just kind of like, what is going on here? I remember being stuck in my life as well. I remember feeling for a season like my life just didn't have much purpose. There wasn't much meaning behind it. I didn't really know what I was supposed to be looking forward to. It felt like if I would get one step forward, something would happen that would just push me about nine steps back. And so why even give a rip and why even care anyways? Because it really just doesn't matter. And so, you know, feeling stuck is a little bit like, you ever gotten your fingers in one of these before, right? The Chinese finger trap. Yeah. You get them in there and you're kind of like, you know, when you pull on them, your fingers don't come out, right? And so the only way to get free, you know, no matter, I mean, I'm sure at some point, you know, if you're really strong, probably not me, but some of you guys, you can just rip them apart. But, you know, the idea is that the way to get unstuck is actually not by pulling away as hard as you possibly can, but the way you get unstuck is you actually, it sounds weird, and it sounds backwards. And remember the first time somebody explained it to you on how to get your fingers out, you're like, that doesn't make sense. If I put them together, they're going to get stuck in even further. You're telling me if I put my fingers together, then they'll be free? That doesn't make sense. Well, getting unstuck in life is a little bit along those lines too. The idea, it kind of doesn't make sense. And you go, wait a second, is that really right? Is that really true? But there are countless people who have done what I'm going to share with you today, and they would testify, many in this room would testify, the way you get unstuck in life. And I don't care if you're walking in here and you don't know who Jesus is, you've never thought about him a day before in your life, somebody dragged you in here this morning. I don't care if you've been following Christ for 47 years, right? Like all of us get stuck at a season in life and sometime, and I want to give you some tools on how to do that because I'm going to share with you what is really keeping you back, what's keeping you stuck, and then I'm going to share with you how you can get unstuck. And actually, here's what I'm just going to do. I'm just going to give you the answer right now, all right? Like, we always wait till the end of the message. We go, oh, we'll give you the answer at the end. I'm just going to give it to you now. Then you'll be done. And if you don't like what I'm saying, you can just leave. That's fine. But I'll give you the answer right now. And it's going to shock you. What I'm about to tell you is going to shock you. Some of you guys are going to be like, oh, really? Okay, I didn't know about that. So to get unstuck, the key, and when I tell you, you guys are just going to be like, really? You're going to say that here in this place today? And so if you're looking to get unstuck, and when I tell you what's going to happen is you're just kind of be like, I don't know. Yeah, I guess maybe that's right. But the way to getting unstuck is through genuine faith in Christ, right? It's through genuine faith in Christ. I know. I can hear the shock in your voice right now. Like you're like, what? it's Sunday. We're in a church on Easter. We're talking about Jesus. It's like it's the answer that you would expect on Sunday morning. But right here's the reality. Just because you've heard the answer before doesn't make it any less true. Just because for some of us it's become commonplace to know this, it doesn't make it any less true, and it doesn't make it any less valid in your life or any less valid in my life today as well. It's still true. And so the only way you get unstuck in your life, whether you are far from Jesus Christ or whether you're walking with him now, is genuine faith in Christ. That's the only way. And so what I want to do is I want to walk with you for a moment through the story of Jesus' resurrection and how his resurrection and how Jesus really caused some people to get unstuck and what happened as a result of that. And so John chapter 20, if you're there, we're going to read verse 19. I'm going to read from the ESV. You can follow along in whatever version you enjoy. But here's what it says. And I'll give some context after we read this too. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. That is very important, and we're going to talk about that in a second. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now, let me give you some quick context on this, because we're coming in kind of in the middle of a story on the back end. And so the disciples here, their rabbi Jesus, their leader Jesus, what has just happened in the last couple of days, he's been falsely charged, he's been arrested, he's been brought to different mock trials, he's been beaten, he's been humiliated, he's been shamed, he's been spit upon, he's been lied about, he's been nailed to a cross and then murdered so that everybody could see it as they passed by on this place called Golgotha, right? And then he's buried in a cave nearby. And on top of that, right? So all of that has happened. On top of that, now there's a few people who are saying that he's actually alive and he's living, right? There's a couple women who saw this. They've seen angels say something to them. They've actually encountered the risen Christ as well. And they come running and they say, "You're not going to believe it. He's alive." Well, nobody else has seen this yet. And don't get mad at me, but in that time, in that culture, when a woman said something, you didn't take, you know, it wasn't true. She's crazy. She's emotional. You don't listen to her. You can't test. She can't give you a truthful testimony of what happened. So it's like, okay, crazy lady, just go on, you know, do your thing, whatever. So some disciples go to the grave, to the tomb, and well, he's gone. He's not there. There's some linens. There's some things there, but he's gone. So it's like, whoa. What do you do with all of that, right? So do you see why the disciples have locked themselves in a room, right? They've locked themselves in a room. Why? Because they're afraid. They're afraid that what happened to their rabbi is going to happen to them. Why would they think that? Because they remember Jesus saying something along the lines of, a student is not above his master or his teacher. And if they did it to me, they'll do it. Yeah. And so they've just seen their rabbi. You know, all this happened. So they're thinking, man, if it happened to the rabbi, what's going to happen? And he didn't even do anything wrong. He didn't even do anything wrong. And they did all of this. And if they did that to him, then they're going to do that to us. And what do we do with that? Right? Are we going to be arrested? Are we going to be lied about? Are we going to be mocked? Are we going to be spit upon? Are we going to be beaten? Are we going to be nailed to a cross and then left to die, murdered, so that everybody can see us and then be buried in a cave? Is that what's going to happen to us too? So they're afraid. But also they're confused, right? Where's our rabbi? We saw him die. He was dead. They put the spear in him, and the blood and the water flowed separated, which is confirmation that he was dead. where did he go? What happened, right? It's not making sense. Yeah, we know he said some stuff. We just thought he was like really excited about some things. And it doesn't make sense. So they're confused. In all reality, the disciples are stuck. They're stuck in fear. They're stuck in confusion. They're literally stuck in a locked room, right? Like they've locked the door. We ain't coming out because we don't know what's going to happen on the other side of that door. And that's when the miracle happens, right? At the height of their fear and the height of their confusion, that's when the miracle happens. Behind locked doors, who appears among them? The rabbi, Jesus, the risen Christ, right? He's there and he just appears. Like, I don't know how he have a lockpick set and he got in. Like, I don't know how he got in, but all I know is he wasn't there. And then all of a sudden he was there, and then he's there. And what's happening? Like, he's alive, and Christ is in front of us, and he's alive, and we can see his hands and all of that. It's really him, and he's living, and he's talking, and it's not a ghost, and it's not a spirit. It's really, really him. He's alive. And do you see what the scriptures say? In verse 20, it says, when the disciples saw this, they were glad. That's a really poor translation of that word. Let me tell you what that word, it's not they were glad. You know, it almost, you look at it, it's like, oh, hey, hi, Jesus. You know, like that's what it comes, you know, like that's it. And, you know, no, they weren't glad. This word, actually, the better translation is overly, exceedingly abundant joy, like, whoa, I can't believe this. Jesus is here, right? Like it's party time and they're going crazy, like, oh my goodness. Well, so I had to do some digging, but I got on a couple different like New Testament historical sites and stuff like that from Jewish culture. But this is a cool thing. We were actually able to see a depiction of what was happening behind those locked doors when Jesus appeared. So I want you to take a quick look at this and what happened. This is actually what happened behind those closed doors. So that's a better depiction of what it looked like when the disciples saw Jesus. They were glad. They were blown away, man. It is. They were so pumped. Like when your tacos are ready and you're like, yeah, like let's do this. Right? They were jazzed. And do you see what happens when you look in the scriptures, right? They're afraid. They're confused. All of that fear, all of that confusion, everything that is going on there is replaced. It's replaced with joy. It's replaced with excitement. It's replaced with purpose. It's replaced with peace. It's replaced with hope. It's replaced with the fact that our rabbi, who we thought was dead, is actually alive, and he's right here in front of us. And here's why. Because a genuine encounter with the risen Christ will change your life. That's a truth you can take home to the bank. A genuine encounter with the risen Christ will change your life. You see that right here happening with the disciples. And then you go on a little bit further. I want to pick up on verse 24 because look what happens next, right? Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, he was not with them when Jesus came. So he's off doing whatever he was. I don't know, maybe he stepped out to go to the bathroom and just missed the most amazing moment of his life. But whatever it is, he's not there, right? So the other disciples, they told him, we've seen the Lord. We just partied. Did you not hear the music, right? Like it was going in there. Nathanael was getting down. And so, but look what Thomas says. Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Didn't matter what anybody else said in that room. Unless I experience, I will never believe. Look what it says next. 8 days later. Right? Like, that's what's going on. Like, Christ's like, okay, let's make you wait. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again. Thomas was with them, right? He's not drinking anything. He's hanging out with these guys. All right. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And then look what happens. He says to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Look at Thomas's reply. My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you've seen me? blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed, right? And so Thomas, he wasn't there when Jesus showed up, but his friends were, and they tried to tell him, and he didn't really listen. He said, that word just sticks out to me. I will never believe unless I experience it for myself. 8 days later, Jesus shows up, and Thomas's doubt, right? Thomas's doubt gets swallowed up in worship. My Lord and my God, I can't believe this is real. This is remarkable. This is incredible. Why? Because an encounter, a genuine encounter with the risen Christ will change your life. Right? It will change you. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Because every time I say that, you're brought back to where Christ brought you from to where you are today. And you know it's not because of anything you have done, but it's because he's encountered you and he's called your name out of darkness into his glorious light. And you know what your life would be like if he hadn't have done that. Some of you are a little confused and go, what do you mean? I've always gone to church. I've always done good things. What are you talking about, this genuine encounter with the risen Christ? What I'm telling you is this. The encounter with the risen Christ didn't make the disciples feel better. Right? They weren't afterwards like, hey, he's alive. I know. I got a chill down my spine. That must be God. Right? Like, no. When you look at what happened, it radically changed their lives. I can't get into it this morning, but every single one of these men, after they encountered the risen Christ, they were radically transformed, and every single one of them gave their lives for the cause of Christ all the way to death. Right? And when they were pushed back, and they were said, this isn't true, and we'll kill you if you keep talking about it, and they didn't back down one inch. Acts chapter 4, verse 20. We can't help talking about all we've seen and heard. We just can't hide it. I know. I want to, right? Like, that's where I think the Pointer Sisters got the song from. Like, it's from the Gospels. And so, maybe not. All right, okay. But anyways, right? Like, every single one of them, and this wasn't just like, oh, great, Jesus is alive. I'll add that to my life and still go do whatever it is that I want to do. It was an encounter with the risen Christ slammed up against them, and they were changed, and they walked away different. They were new because a genuine encounter with the risen Christ will change your life. I want you to have a genuine encounter with the risen Christ too, if you haven't yet already, right? Because it'll change your life. It's changed my life, right? So some of you are even asking the question you're thinking right now. You're ahead of me, and you're really thoughtful about this, and you're going, okay, Fritz, how do I have a genuine encounter with the risen Christ? I mean, I don't know the scriptures that well, but I think there's somewhere in there that, like, he has ascended to heaven, maybe, and he's with the Father, and he's not, like, walking among us on the earth anymore. So how do I have a genuine encounter with the risen Christ who's not physically here, and he's not popping in and locked doors and stuff like that? How does that happen? Right? What does that look like? Well, you're right, right? So Jesus, he's in heaven with the Father, and so he's not here physically among us. So I want to talk to you about how every single person here today can have a genuine encounter with the risen Christ. I'm going to give you a couple primers, and then I'm going to give you the central piece of what it is to have a genuine encounter with the risen Christ. Here's the first primer is you've got to be in the Word, right? You've got to be reading the Scriptures. You've got to be studying the Bible. Read the Bible, if you want to write that down in your notes. Read the Bible, and here's why. Because this is not only a historical document. This is not only record of good, solid teachings for us to live our lives from. These are literally the words and thoughts of God. And when we read them, we are literally reading the words and the thoughts of God. I want you to think about that. We're reading what God wanted us to know about him and about his son and about us too, right? And so when we read the scriptures, and especially you should be in the Gospels. If you don't know anything about Jesus and about God, like don't go to page one. Don't go to Genesis 1. Not saying that's a bad idea, but I would not start there. You know where I would start? I would start in the Gospels. I would want to learn who is this Jesus, because it seems like everything hinges on him. Because BC meant before Christ, and AD means something else, like after Jesus or whatever. And so everything happened around his birth. We mark it around his birth, and everybody's stopping and celebrating and remembering his resurrection right now. So maybe that's a pivotal moment that I should press into. So I would read the Gospels. You know where I would start? I would start in the Gospel of Mark. Why? Because he's Greek like me, and he's quick, and he's to the point. And I like that. And so I'd jump into Mark, and then I'd go to John. And then I'd go back to Matthew, and then I'd read Luke. That's what I would do. I would study the scriptures, and while I'm studying them, right, God is going to speak to me about who is this Jesus? Why is he such a big deal? Why do I need to know him and know about him? And so the first primer is studying the Bible. The second primer is this, is praying, right? Praying. You should be praying, right? You should be praying. And here's what my prayer would be if I didn't know who Christ was. I would just say, God, help me to know who your son is. Help to affirm to me that what you say in here is true, right? Help me understand that. And guess what? If that's your prayer, God's going to answer that. God's going to call you. He's going to draw you. He's going to give you wisdom and understanding you didn't have before. So I would start by studying the scriptures. I would couple that with praying. But I want to give you the real linchpin, the centerpiece on what it is to have a genuine encounter with the risen Christ. And here's what it is. Again, it's simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. It comes down to you've got to believe. You've just got to believe, right? Some of you guys are waiting for like these silver bullets that all... like everything's going to hinge from, and nobody can ever, you know, come against that thought or that idea, or this confirms everything about who Jesus says he is, and this confirms everything about everything that has to do with everything about the scripture. I want to tell you, outside of genuine faith in Christ, it doesn't exist. There is no, right? There's things that can be explained away. There's things that you can push back on. You know what you can't explain away? What Christ has done in my life. Like, go ahead, argue with me until you're blue in the face. You know what I'll tell you when you're done? You're wrong. Like, that's it. Like, I know who I was. I know who I was, and I know who I am now. And it wasn't because I was smart enough or good enough or I figured something out. It was literally I figured someone out, and he came in and he changed me. Right? That's what it is. And so it's genuine faith. When you believe, when you invite Jesus into your life through the Holy Spirit, God resides right in here, right? And you can literally like feel him. There's been times like I feel him very real in me, like, whoa, like there's something happening here. And do you remember what remember what Jesus said to Thomas in verse 29? This is actually our memory verse for the week, right? Thomas sees Jesus, and then Thomas believes, and Jesus says, oh, you've believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed. You see what he says? There's blessing. There's blessing that we live by faith without having it physically confirmed with our eyes. He says there's blessing than that. And so the reality is this, right? Jesus can help you be free from being stuck. He can help you be free from being stuck in fear, in confusion, in doubt, in worry, in whatever it is that you're stuck in. He can free you from that. Because a genuine encounter with the risen Christ will change your life. We see it here in John chapter 20. We see it in other areas in the scriptures as well. When the risen Christ, go read Acts chapter 9, by the way. If you ever get a chance, just write that down right now. Read Acts 7, 8, and 9 sometime this week, and you'll see what happens when someone encounters the risen Christ. I mean, we're talking a 180, full-on changed man. I'm not even going to tell you about it. I'm going to tease you. Now it's going to bother you. So I told you earlier at the beginning that there was a season that I was stuck in my life, right? And there was, very much so. I grew up in a really difficult family. My dad was an alcoholic. My parents divorced when I was 3 years old. I lived in 11 different states from the time I was 3 until I was 7. I made a lot of bad choices as a young man and as a teenager, so much I was getting in trouble with the police as well. And so all of that's happening. I'll never forget one night, right? So it's almost like this, right? I'm just stuck, and I'm just trying to do what I can, and I can't break free from this thing, and it doesn't matter how hard I pull, it doesn't matter how smart I try to get, it doesn't matter how crafty or cunning I try to be, I can't get out of this thing. And then one night, someone tells me about Jesus, and he says that Jesus loves me, and he said that Jesus cared about me, and he said that Jesus could change my life, and he told me that the reason I was doing all these bad things and the reason I was stuck is because of this thing called sin in my life, and sin disconnects me from God. No matter how much I try to clean it up, if there's sin present, it just disconnects me from the Father. And he tells me all this. He says, Jesus can change all of that. He said, but the way you do that is to get free from your sin is you have to surrender to God. I thought, that doesn't make sense. You're just telling me to trade one master for another master. How am I going to be free when I'm just going from this master to another? That makes no sense. Why would I do that? That sounds like a really bad idea. But I knew this wasn't getting me anywhere, no matter what I did. So I thought I'd give it a shot. And so that night, I prayed to God, and I asked Jesus to forgive me, and I gave him control over my life. It's pretty remarkable. Nearly immediately, I just felt something happen. I can't explain it to you. But it was almost like, I could just feel his love in me. That's the best way I know to say about it. But I could just feel it. And so what happened was, like, I started feeling freer. Like, I started loving people I didn't love before and I didn't care to love. It was really weird. The words I was using were different. They were encouraging instead of tearing people down. I didn't want to do bad things anymore. That was the weirdest thing of all, because I'd always just wanted to do stuff that was destructive and bad and things like that, and I just didn't want to do that anymore. It's like it was just removed from me, and I just kept getting more and more free from this. And the more I've submitted to him, the more free I've become in my own life. It doesn't make sense, does it? But it does. Now my life has purpose and meaning, and he's using me for all kinds of things. Now I'm still growing. I'm not perfect. You peek in my house on a certain night, you'll catch me, my temper loses control sometimes. I say things and do things that I shouldn't do, and God's still growing me in that, so I can't claim perfection in my life, but I can claim that I'm growing, right? Why? Because a genuine encounter with the risen Christ will change your life, and it did me too. So I want to share my hope with you very, very briefly. Here's the reality. I want to give you truth, because I'm sure you've been hearing lies in your life. Here's the truth. God's amazing. God's powerful. He's good, and he's loving. But see, the reason we are stuck is because we have sin in our life, and we're surrounded by darkness. That's why we're disconnected, and we feel stuck. But God loves us so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, to live a perfect life on your behalf and on my behalf too. And through that perfect life, he died a perfect death on a cross. We've talked about this a few weeks ago. And he died that death because, you might not know this, scriptures tell us that sin has a payment, and the payment for sin is death. And so somebody has to die when sin happens. And so Jesus died on a cross for your sin, for my sin, right? He was dead. And he was buried in a tomb. And actually, if you remember, he said when he was alive, you can kill me, but 3 days later, I'm coming back, right? And so some people remembered that. So you know what they did? They put him in the cave, they rolled a giant stone in front of it, they sealed it, and they guarded it with some of the best Roman guards they could, because we ain't letting that guy come out. I don't care. You can stay in there the rest of your eternal life, Jesus. You ain't coming out, right? And so they did that because they were afraid. What's going to happen if he really did? And they didn't trust it. And then everybody thought it was over. He's dead. It's been three. Like, what's going to happen? You don't come back from that. And then the miracle happened, right? And then the greatest moment in all of history and the world takes place. And boom, like in a moment, everything changes because he steps out of the tomb and it's just announced. He is alive. He is risen just like he said he would. And it showed that he really is who he said he was. He really is the Son of God. He really does have victory over sin and death in every area of my life and in the world, right? Now, here's the reality. Jesus does that, and he said, nobody comes to the Father except through, nobody comes to the Father except through Jesus. And so his death and his resurrection become the way for us to be unstuck from sin and be free in our life. Here's the reality. That's why we have a choice to make. Either we choose to accept him and we're free to live with him for all of eternity, or we choose to reject him and we're separated from him for all time, right? I've made that choice in following Christ. My question is, have you? I want to give you that opportunity right now. This is how important it is. I want to take time to give you that opportunity to make that choice right now. And here's the reality. You don't have to get up. You don't have to leave your seat. You don't have to do anything. You can stay right where you're at. All you need to do to be free from sin, to be unstuck in your life, is to believe. Do you know what Jesus said? There's a group of people who said, "What must we do to do the works of God?" And do you know what Jesus said? The work of God is to believe in the one in whom he has sent. That's your work. That's your work. That's my work. And whether you've been following Christ, you've been following for the last decade, you still need to believe in him. You still need to trust in him, because it's still based on his salvation, based on his work on the cross and out of the grave, that we're saved. If that goes away, it all goes away. You're not saved because you're awesome. You're not saved because you dressed up the right way today. You're not saved because you made it here today and everybody else is sleeping, right? That's not why you're saved. You're saved because of him. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. I know it doesn't make sense, but it's like the finger trap. It's just like the finger trap. To get free, you don't pull away from God. You actually press into God. And you get closer to him. And you submit to him. And the more you do, the more you run to God, he will change your life. And so if you're here this morning and you're saying, "Fritz, I get what you're saying. I don't know if I understand it all. I don't know if I grasp it all. But I'll tell you what, I want to be unstuck. I want to be free. I want to be free from sin. I want to have hope now. I want to have hope for all of eternity." If you've put your faith in Christ right now, you can do that. You can do that. All you've got to do is believe. All you've got to do is say, "Jesus, I trust you. I give you everything. I'm submitting to you," right? Like, you just do that in your heart. And you know right now, if God's calling you to that, right, you know, because things have just been resonating with you, and words that I've said have just been digging to the core of who you are and sticking with you, and you can't pull away and you can't walk away. Like, you just realize this is true, this is right, and maybe you're nervous and your heart is beating a little bit faster, but you just know this is what God wants me to do. Then just do it and just submit to him and be set free. That's all you need to do. And if you're here this morning and you've crossed that line of faith, here's what I want you to do. I want you to invite you to pray a simple prayer with me, affirming what Jesus has just done in you. This prayer is not going to save you, but it's just affirming what Christ has done in you. And here's the prayer. You can say it out loud. You can repeat it silently in your mind, your spirit. Either way is fine with me. But it's just simply this. Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you for rising from the dead. I believe you are who you said you are. I'm trusting you to be my forgiver, and I'm trusting you to be my leader. You can change me. I'm following you from this point forward. Amen. And amen. And here's what I want to do. If you prayed that prayer, do me a favor. I have mine up here. Grab your blue connection card, and I want you to just tell me. Let me know. All right, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. So sometime before the service ends, check. I'm inviting Jesus to be my forgiver and leader for the first time today. Check that on the back of your connection card right there, and I'll be sure to follow up with you. But here's what I want to do. Okay, I'm actually going to ask the band to start making their way up now, because we're going to wrap up here. Here's what I want to do. If you've come to faith this morning, here's what I want to tell you. Look at me if you've come to faith. Just look at me real quick. If you've come to faith and you've given your life to Jesus Christ, look at me for a second. Here's what I want to tell you. This is very important. You need to catch this. Welcome to the family. Right? Welcome. Amen. Welcome to the family. Yeah, that's right. Welcome to the family. We're glad you're here. You have some really messed up brothers and sisters who are still growing too. You're going to make mistakes. I'm going to make mistakes. We're all going to do that, but we're going to grow together, right? That's how we roll. That's what we do. And so if you've just been transformed by the risen Christ, you've just been adopted as a son or a daughter of the King, and that will change you, and that will make you different. I want to give you just a couple quick practical steps of what you should do now, because a lot of times what we do is we lead people to a place of decision, and then we kind of go, have a good week. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to give you a couple things that you can be doing right now. One, you now, if you came to faith in Christ, you now get to celebrate your new life in Christ through baptism. Like, that's an exciting, here at Lighthouse, we party, man. Like, we party, all right? When you get baptized, because we're not always there when you give your life to Christ, but we're there when you get baptized, and we throw down, okay? So, it's like Carlton. Larry does the Carlton dance during baptism. It's weird, but it's beautiful at the same time. I don't know. I still remember everything about my baptism. It was such a meaningful day. Some of you guys would know too. And if you haven't been baptized and you're a believer in Christ, you should be baptized. You need to be baptized. It's a great, great step. That's one. Number two, now guess what you get to do? You get to read this and understand it. Right? Like the Holy Spirit begins to help you understand things you couldn't understand before, right? Because we just can't understand things without His help in that. And so, man, when I read the scriptures, God just fills me with hope and joy and all kinds of stuff. Here's another thing, that when you pray, you know that God hears your prayers. Your Father is hearing and He's acting on His behalf for His will in your life. And that's an amazing, incredible thing in that. And you get to talk with God about anything, right? There's like no way, you don't need to dial in or anything like that, right? I remember getting that wrong because I was kind of quasi, have a Catholic background, but not really. And I was wondering, like, how do you pray? How do you open up the line? Is it, you know, like, I don't know how you start it. And I'm not belittling that, but I just thought you had to get it right before God would hear you. You don't have to. All you have to do is talk to God and share your celebrations, your victories, your fears, your questions, and He'll talk back with you as well. Here's one other thing I want to encourage you. Now, what you get to do, you get to tell someone else about what God's done in you. You get to tell someone else your story, right? I used to be this way. I met Jesus Christ, and He changed me. And everything's new. You get to tell. And so tell us. Grab somebody nearby before you leave. Hey, you're never going to believe I came to faith today. And if you grab the right person, almost anybody here, they're going to go, yeah, you know, great. Have you told Fritz? Have you told Larry? Have you told Mark? Have you told, you know, some, you know, we love to celebrate that stuff. Tell your friends and family too. Chances are, your friends and family, they want to get unstuck too. They just don't know how. And a story like yours could be game changer for them, right? Here's the last thing I want to tell you is that every step of the way, you have a spiritual family here at Lighthouse. Every step of the way, you have a family right here at Lighthouse. We will walk with you. We will walk with you. I've been using this phrase more and more, is that we intentionally disciple everybody who says yes to Jesus. That's important. So we're not going to leave you off on the side and say good luck. We want you here. We want to help you. And so hopefully we'll see you next week on Sunday. But also a family. That's why we do family groups, right? We don't do them. We don't report numbers to anybody. All we do is we want to disciple people. So if you're not in a family group, you should do that. It's a great tool for you to grow in that. And I hope you'll let us walk with you on your spiritual journey. So we're going to sing another song, right? Okay, we're going to sing another song, close out on the party this morning. I'm so glad every one of you have been here. But don't leave, because after the song, I think Larry's got a couple things he's going to share with you. And then we'll really party with donuts afterwards. So let's all stand together and let's worship.
We're going to sing about the wonderful...